First lesson is Genesis 12, the first four verses. We're going back to the call of Abram, who becomes Abraham, which also explains that first hymn. I don't know if you like, I love that hymn. It's a different tune, and I love the way that one sounds, and that's just a great hymn. Anyway, but we get here to the call of Abraham, and join with me now in Genesis 12, the first four verses. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will also curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Oh, I'll just go ahead and finish it off. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. The word of the Lord, my friends.
Thank you.
Amen. All right, friends, our second lesson today is the story of Nicodemus in John chapter 3. Follow along as we share in the first 17 verses of the chapter. Now, there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I have said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the Son, the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." You want me to go where? How many of us would be willing to go on a two-week, a trip completely planned by someone else, and you have no idea where you will go or what you will do? Now, sure, I imagine some of you may have gone on one of those mystery trips, mystery tours where you pack a bag and you're on a busload with a bunch of others on a trip somewhere that you do not know. But there are plenty of people who are not even willing to do that, even with a crowd following with them. How about if it were just you, or maybe just you and one other? That might change your choice if there's no tour guide to actually go with you and to keep you on the right path. Flip the script even more. Let's say someone is planning a new home for you in another land that you have never seen and you do not know to live the rest of your life. How about I set you up with a new life in Uzbekistan? Yeah. Well, you know, the military, you know, they might require this, something like this for some of the soldiers, but they'll at least tell you where you're going and help you prepare for the move. I can't imagine any of us would be willing to jump on a plane To go live somewhere completely foreign and unknown for the rest of our lives is simply the promise that it'll be interesting. And yet, that's fairly close to what Abram and Sarai did when God called him and his household to a new place, a new life, a new chapter in a story that they would have to write together. We have no clue why, how Abram did this. There's no discussion. There's no question. There's no negotiation. We have no clue or why Sarai went along with this plan. She did speak up from time to time on certain other issues. Abram also has raised questions through his stories and what ifs at other times. Here they're silent. Here we just have the sound of their feet walking across the page in a direction that they imagined, that they never imagined for a reason they would ever go. We don't know why they listened and followed. We don't know their motivation for following a God that they had never met before. They simply trusted in God's promise and followed. So, you want me to go where? This is Nicodemus's reservation as well in this famous conversation about how to be part of the kingdom of God. He likes Jesus. He wants to believe Jesus. He's not opposed to Jesus' ministry as other Pharisees were. All the Pharisees were not against Jesus, by the way, but there were certainly a number who were, especially in the ruling body. Still, Nicodemus is afraid of being seen with Jesus, which is why he comes to speak to him at night under the cover of darkness. John's gospel is different from all the other gospels for a number of reasons, but not least because this gospel does not tell the story of Jesus, what he did and did and did and did. Instead, John wants us to know who Jesus is as the Son of God and how he shares oneness with God. Jesus in John's gospel spends time talking to people in different situations, showing us aspects of being in God's heart. Each story in John's gospel is meant to teach, and Nicodemus is the first one. He's no different. It's kind of hard not to feel sorry for Nicodemus. You can almost hear him thinking, "Help me in my unbelief." He wants to understand, but the ideas are just too big and too different from anything he has known before. Who would not want to be in God's kingdom? What do you mean I have to be born a second time from above? What does that even mean? It's easy to understand his confusion. Just reading it today can be confusing. Jesus is not crystal clear, even for people who should know more today. He uses words that literally can mean multiple things. He's being intentionally ambiguous. There is a birth that is different from the natural first birth. Somehow it's supposed to be from God. This birth is maybe about baptism because of the water, but it also requires the Holy Spirit, which is whichever and wherever. There was a time in the book of Acts when believers were baptized with water but had not received the Holy Spirit, which was odd at that time. The Spirit was hopping in those days. You'd think it would want to share its presence as much as possible, but it blows where it blows. Nicodemus just cannot get past that second birth. He is struggling with this concept and does not know how to proceed. But here's the thing. He doesn't have to understand it. Just like Abram and Sarai, did not know the path or where they were going or what it was going to really be like or what was going to happen in their following. You could follow Jesus without understanding the second birth or the finer points of baptism or how the Holy Spirit works. If you want to follow Jesus, if you want to be part of God's kingdom, if you want to be in the life of our Lord, just embrace it. The key is to do it with others, I think. When we're searching and working and worshiping and serving and learning together, we stand a much better chance of ending up in a better way. Yet, Jesus does lay into Nicodemus for claiming to be a teacher and leader in faith, but he doesn't grasp this basic idea. If we want to be with God, we have to be from God. If we want to be in God's kingdom, we must be new people. Everybody begins in the world and of the world, but the world is not who we are meant to remain. We are born into human families, but we become part of God's family. Being really good worldly people is not our goal. I'm right there with Nicodemus. I would be worried about impressing Jesus and trying to get his teaching. I would want to show, how I am a good student. The moment the situation begins to go sideways, I'd get flustered and confused and frustrated. My attempt to show Jesus that I was open to him and cared about what he was saying, in my attempt, I just showed him how incompetent I was. That's literally where this story goes. And I'm sure none of you has ever had that happen. It's like meeting your hero, someone you've always wanted to meet. And the moment you finally meet, all you can think to talk about is the weather. Well, unless your hero is a meteorologist, that's a bust. I understand that John, at that point, takes an opportunity and changes the discussion and moves right into one of the most important verses in the Bible. With Nicodemus floundering before him, he has Jesus express the heart of God with such magnificent clarity that children memorize the passage. This is it. For God so loved the world. It's most likely the first verse that any of you memorized, right? This is the gospel story in a nutshell. God so loved us so much that we were given God's Son that we might live together forever. Boom. Mic drop. There it is. And the next verse, the last one that I read, is actually only slightly less significant. It's especially crucial if you are struggling with feelings of worth and guilt and sin. Jesus did not come into the world to condemn us, but to save us. Honestly, I think once we memorize John 3:16, we spend the rest of our lives holding John 3:17. It frames our relationship with Christ. Life is hard, harder than hard. Thinking about being born a second time is actually a fairly appropriate image. Labor is also pretty hard, not that I've ever done it myself. Back then, of course, it was much more dangerous to boot. I found out the other day that my mother's labor with me was long and difficult with my more than 9-pound self. I was weeks late, and my mother, I told my mother that's what happens when you leave food too long in the oven. It gets overcooked. She did not think that was funny. But it was my birthday, so she couldn't fuss at me too much. The births of Jesus' day were far more difficult, and many mothers and children did not survive. It's one of those pictures of struggle that was their way of life. None of us would do very well jumping into life of a first century Jew. Forget Uzbekistan, right? Try moving to first century Judea. Of course, back then, that's the only life they knew. But that didn't really make it easier. They were starved for something better. So when Jesus came and began showing them something different and announcing God's kingdom come, they could not contain their enthusiasm. This was a big change for people who needed change. Nicodemus so much wanted that change too. The easy path would have been for Sarai and Abram just to remain home. Stay home. The easy path would have been for Nicodemus to go back to his life and forget Jesus, who was too tough to understand. Without Abram and Sarai, the people of Israel would not have happened. Nicodemus did not give up on Jesus, by the way, but was there at his death and provided the spices and perfumes to begin his funeral, 100 pounds worth. He provided proper care for Jesus' body. They didn't know what following God would mean, but they gave themselves to the harder path. They knew they needed a greater love. Some people of God want a sign, you know, just some hint of what God wants us to do. We might be open, but we want a special message from on high. Is it better to wait and do nothing? Or to work on doing what you can, seeking the Spirit of God in our daily struggle? When we walk in faith wherever God provides a path, we may not understand it. But if it is loving and redeeming for the people of God, if it is showing the goodness of being brothers and sisters in Christ, if it invites the Spirit of God into our midst, then it is worth the labor. We are in this as a labor of love. And as people who have been born from above, we will keep working to our last day. To God be the glory. Amen.